I'm fine. I can go.
No way. You look a lot better now than before, but I have no idea how long that will last. Keep an eye on these two for me.
Mitch leaned in close and nuzzled her ear.
You have 10 minutes to meet me at the shuttle. If you're not back by then, I'm coming after you.
Lara smiled. I'll count on that. She pushed to her feet with a long look at her mother.
Sabina stared out the window but spoke up when Lara reached the door.
You'll regret this.
Maybe I will, Mother. But it's better than doing nothing. Lara caught his eye once more and creaked open the hatch. As the door snapped closed, Mitch noticed a man in the corridor, facing the pilot station. Rafe. His old friend glared at him through the hatch's portal. Mitch's skin crawled and his breath hitched. Over the sound of the klaxon blaring, thousands of voices whispered. He stumbled against the monitor behind him. Rafe walked through the closed door.
What the hellus are you doing?
Lara sprinted down the corridor until she found the hull access port. The door yanked open on a creak, and salty wind buffeted her, stealing her breath.
Stop!
20 feet away, 3 burly members of the Prime Minister's personal guard lined up, all guns drawn. Lara purposely aimed wide and fired her own weapon. She might be willing to kidnap her own mother if need be, but killing somebody was so not at the top of her to-do list if it could be avoided. They returned fire, obviously with no similar reservations. Lara tabbed on her wrist sync just in time for the hot plasma to sail right through her. She leaped onto the catwalk and held on tight as she pushed through the sea spray and tangy bluster. Up ahead, the Calypso's rudder peeked over the smooth curve of the hospital pod. Another plasma shot sailed overhead, and Lara ducked instinctively. One guard popped out onto the catwalk behind her and strode down the decking as fast as he could squeeze by the railing. Smaller and faster, Lara ran toward another staircase and leapfrogged down it. Under cover from the platform above, the wind and sea spray lessened, but the rhythmic din of waves smacking the hull echoed in the small space. 6 feet away, she spotted her destination, the locking clamps, and, right next to them, the manual wheel override.
Halt!
Another shot catapulted overhead, and sparks flared where it hit the hatch. Lara jumped back. With an over-shoulder glance, she saw Mr. Burly Guard fire again. This time he hit her wrist sink. Her muscles spasmed with the abrupt phase change, and her wrist burned. She shucked off the useless white-hot bracelet and tossed it overboard.
You're not going anywhere, Captain Soto!
Lara raised her hands in surrender and propped herself against the hull. Her body ached, her lungs burned, and her mission all but failed.
Rafe?
Mitch lowered the plasma gun he'd raised on instinct and forced his hand to steady, despite the adrenaline pumping in his veins. His old friend looked around the station and clenched his jaw when he found Sabina staring out the viewport.
You shouldn't be here. Neither of you.
Sabina looked over.
Are you all right, Commodore?
Did you say my son's name?
Rafe stepped forward and grabbed Mitch's wrist.
That's one of Lara's sinks on your wrist. Don't you realize what you've done?
Mitch's vision spun, and he leaned against a chair.
I didn't want to die, Rafe. This was the only way.
You've opened yourself to my fate.
Rafe dropped Mitch's wrist.
You could be trapped between dimensions like we are, but without the protection of the wormhole.
So you are alive in the wormhole.
The experiment partially worked?
Sabina circled around the pilot's chair. She reached to grab Mitch's arm, but her hand ghosted through him.
Commodore, who are you talking to?
Yes.
Rafe's image weakened and then resurged.
And now you've dragged my mother into this.
Mitch glanced back and forth between Sabina and Rafe.
She can't hear or see you. She's not affected by this.
White fog rolled in from the corners of the room. A chill embraced Mitch and skittered down his spine. The smoky mist swirled around Rafe and coalesced into delicate tendrils. One of those tendrils materialized into a dainty hand. A slight woman stood beside his friend, her arms draped over Rafe like a fragile cage. Mitch pushed Sabina behind him.
"Who is she?"
"We must go, Raphael."
The woman's voice vibrated through his body, something he felt rather than heard. Mitch tamped down a shudder and raised his weapon. His friend clasped the woman's hand and pulled her closer.
"Tell my sister the truth, Mitch. All of it."
Both Rafe and the woman faded as the mist receded back to the room's corners. Rafe's voice filled the room.
"If anyone can figure it out, it's the two of you. But what you've done, I'm not sure there's any going back."
"Rafe!" Mitch jerked forward directly through the space Rafe and the woman had just occupied. Not just his hands, but Mitch's whole body shook, as much from the physical shift as from fear. No amount of resolve could stop the tremor. Either Mitch had just stepped into another dimension, or he was losing his mind. With a shout, a pale Sabina stepped away and stared at one of the monitors.
"Give me that comlink, Yoshida, now!"
"There is no way."
She pointed at the monitor.
"Give it to me, before that guard shoots Lara."
Chapter 11.
"Move away from the control panel, Captain."
As the guard barreled toward her, Lara swung her legs around. The waves swept the ship to and fro, enough to sway her stomach. With feet planted forward, she caught the man in the chest and heaved him away. She timed her thrust to the ship's hitch and knocked the officer into the hull. His head hit the metal behind and for a few seconds stared at her with eyes glazed over. Lara pivoted back to the console and tore open the cap covering the controls. Her fingerprint opened the last lock. She plunged her hand into the now open cylinder, grabbed the handle and twisted. Metal creaked and snapped. The mooring scraped and the pod wrenched free. They all tilted sideways almost 90 degrees, now more at the mercy of the huge waves. Spray drenched her as she slid forward, but the railing held both of them on board. The guard's comlink chimed. He moaned, and Lara took that as her exit cue. She slid past him on the narrow catwalk. Using the inertia of the pod's sway, the man plunged himself toward her and tackled her around the waist. Lara managed a few more steps, her thigh muscles burning with his added weight. Time ticked down. At any moment, the Calypso would take off with the Interlace humans in tow, along with Mitch and her mother. They couldn't wait for her. Had 10 minutes passed, Mitch would risk missing the shuttle, too, if it meant not leaving her behind. As the distance between the two pods lengthened, Lara heard the shuttle powering up just a few hundred feet away. She dropped to the decking and the guard latched onto one ankle. Getting to her knees, Lara kicked her free foot onto his shoulder and his grasp lapsed. She broke free and ran until her lungs burned and the sound of the Calypso's engines powering up overtook the clamor of sea and wind. She made it 20 feet to the shuttle before the militia caught up to her. Chandra already had the trans-D potentials fired up. The engines revving, the kid must have overridden the plasma fail-safes in order to keep the gangway open for them. Up ahead, Cam shuffled the last of the Terrans into the cargo hold. Mitch and Sabina ran full out onto the other end of the tarmac. A plasma arc smoked at Lara's feet. She fired at its origin and then chased after them up the ramp. Once in the shuttle cockpit, and her mother safely seated in the back with the Terrans, Lara connected to the Griffin's cloud base. She tabbed through the launch logs as Chandra folded up the gangway and sealed the shuttle. Mitch sat beside her, and she slapped on a new wrist sync. Lara opened her comlink.
XO, spin up the trans-D engines and initiate horizon potentials.
Already done, Captain. Coordinates are set for Alpha Haven. Just waiting for you to come aboard.
Understood.
In preparation for the jump, Lara adjusted the frequency on their wrist syncs as Chandra took the shuttle into high orbit and beelined it for the Griffin's landing bay.
Cam hadn't been kidding about having the Griffin ready to jump. The phase anchors desynced as the Calypso touched down. Cam's voice came over their comlinks.
Synchronize wrist sync on my mark.
With no time for them to reach the bridge before jump, the three of them remained in the shuttle. Mitch tabbed through the launch screens.
Thorn Sagan's shell is holding.
Lara nodded. The ship pulled forward, its momentum pushing them all against their seats. The air buzzed when the negative matter shell armored around them. She'd escaped again. This time, Lara brought with her not only the Terrans who maltreated the Chimerans, but the man she never expected would see the Havens.
Once they landed on Alpha, Lara would have no secrets from Mitch anymore, and he could hurt her all over again.
Chandra exited the Calypso, but Lara had other plans. Mitch watched the younger man leave and quirked an eyebrow at her.
You're not going?
Lara glanced at the clock counting down until they emerged in Terran space. Any minute now I should hear from Raphael. I'd rather not be en route to the bridge when that happens. Go on up if you want. I'll fill you in afterwards. Mitch shook his head.
No way. Every time Rafe has attempted communication, you've practically passed out. Thanks to that Chimeran from the Bane, I have some idea what it's like. I'm not leaving you alone.
Lara shrugged.
Suit yourself.
He narrowed his brown eyes at her.
You wouldn't.
Wouldn't what?
Lara tried to keep her pulse steady and made a show of tabbing through the launch logs. He couldn't possibly know anything.
You're going to take the Calypso into the wormhole and follow the Revenant's negative matter trail.
Mitch restrapped his restraints.
I know you better than to try to talk you out of it, but I can't believe you didn't tell me about this.
That trail can lead me to the Interlace and Raphael. I can't pass up this opportunity. I didn't know how you would react.
You still don't trust me. Fine. Rasa is in on this, right? If not, it'll be suicide trying to get back on board before she takes the Griffin back into normal space.
Lara sighed. Rasa knows. The woman in question pinged them over the comlink.
Captain, is the Commodore there with you? He never reported to the bridge.
Yes, Commodore Yoshida is on the Calypso with me. He's joining the mission.
Very good, ma'am. I'm picking up the trace of Revenant negative matter, and I'm sending the data to you now.
Received. Ready to launch when you are.
As soon as the launch bay is open, you can depart at your discretion.
Acknowledged, Exo. Thanks.
Be careful, Captain.
As always.
Lara activated the yoke at her station and shifted the engines off standby. Mitch tabbed up the data from external sensors.
We've got a dispersal pattern. Charting a course to follow.
Prepare for launch, Commodore.
Lara eased the shuttle smoothly out of its gate, through the launch bay and out into wormhole space. They couldn't go far, limited as they were to the Griffin's protective shell holding the wormhole throat open. Raphael told Lara to follow the trail, though, so she would do it. Hopefully soon she would understand the reason. Very soon, if the explosion of voices around her were any indication. Banshee shrieks wailed and bounced off the walls of the cockpit, as if in an echo chamber. The wormhole's blue ionic waves wrapped around the ship, but inside, white clouds streaked across Lara's vision. The pain seemed lesser this time, a sensation of heaviness in the joints instead of an all-out rending of sinew. Lara glanced over her shoulder. Sure enough, Raphael stood in the middle of the cockpit, his skin pale and clothing muted as if all color had been washed out of him.
Mitch, take the controls.
He's here.
Lara nodded. She stood and stepped toward her brother. An alabaster hand wrapped around Raphael's neck and caressed along his cheekbone. The form of a willowy woman rose up behind him, her long white hair whirling in curls and tails around them both. Her fine bones were visible beneath the diaphanous ivory shift she wore. The Banshee's eyes were dark, though. Pits of ink, like the deepest, coldest part of space, hovering above gaunt cheeks. The creature draped herself over Raphael's shoulders.
A pleasure to finally meet you. Lara Soto, sister of Raphael.
The utterance came out a hiss, a chafing sound instead of a voice. Mitch flew the ship but kept glancing at her. He couldn't see either of them, but his tight shoulders betrayed his worry. Lara glanced at her brother for some indication of his state of mind.
Who is she?
Raphael smiled and clasped his hand through the creature's thin, wispy one.
This is Calendra. She speaks for the Revenant.
Lara clenched her jaw and tried to smooth her expression. Didn't manage it.
What do you want? I want what all of you have.
Calendra glided forward between them, but her hand trailed behind her, still connected to Raphael.
I want my freedom. From what I know of you, this is something you should particularly understand.
Lara nodded. Raphael's expression could only be called rapt. He gazed at Calendra, bewitched, enthralled, enchanted.
Send Raphael back with me. Together we can surely find a solution.
Calendra followed and returned to Raphael, caressed his cheek.
Oh, no. Your brother and the rest of the Chimerans from the Interlace are staying with us until you find a way to free us all. Raphael claims you can do this.
Why hold them for such a ransom?
We are imprisoned here. Those like you and your brother we can talk to. It has been a very long time.
The creature gazed at Raphael, and for a second seemed mutually spellbound. An alert beeped from behind Lara. Mitch glanced at her over his shoulder.
We're desyncing with the Griffin. We can't stay out here any longer. Sit down and strap in.
Lara turned back to her brother, who faded by degrees.
Wait!
Calendra stood behind Raphael again. With arms wrapped around his shoulders, she pulled him toward the back of the shuttle, floating above the floor. Raphael smiled.
You have the tools, Lara.
Both of them dissipated into vapor.
Mitch's arm snaked around Lara's waist and pulled her back to the seat. He cradled her face in his hands. The world spun around and her insides twisted.
Can you hear me?
Calendra. I've seen her. She's holding them all prisoner until we find a way to free the Revenant, too.
Mitch snapped up her restraints.
I know.
We have to get him... What do you mean, you know?
He spun back to the controls, which were now switched to his station.
Without another word, he guided the shuttle through the ionic rapids and landed safely in the Griffin shuttle bay. Her stomach plummeted and nausea churned. His silence was a galaxy-wide gulf between them. Mitch locked down the station and continued staring out the viewport.
I know because I saw them, Lara. That's how I survived the night on Creed.
He unlatched the wrist sync and held it out to her.
I'm in tune with their phase frequency.
Lara ripped off the restraints and seized his hand.
You knew that frequency all along and didn't tell me?
He nodded and then met her gaze.
It isn't safe, Lara. I had no choice but to try it.
You asked me to trust you. But how can I now?
He clutched her hand in return.
Because I'm going to tell you everything. Every bit of information I know. And we're going to get Rafe back.
Lara let go of his hand and nodded. A moment ago, that gulf between them seemed to crop up from nowhere, but it had been there all along. What a fool she'd been to think Mitch had changed.
Chapter 12. A thousand welcomes to Alpha Haven, sir. What can I get for you?
Mitch leaned against the Timberplaz bar and fiddled with the data crystal in his pocket.
What are they having?
The bartender looked down the length of the 7-foot counter to where Lara stood with Rasa, a shot full of emerald liquid in front of each of them. Various Griffin crew members gathered around, as well as several Alpha residents Mitch didn't know.
That would be brine whiskey, sir. It's pretty potent to a Terran. Are you sure that's what you want?
Mitch nodded. Surely one would do no harm. While the bartender poured his shot, the two women downed their drinks and laughed.
barely 5 steps off the Calypso's gangway. Lara and Rossa had headed straight for Artie's, the only bar in the small colony. "It's a tradition," Lara had crinkled her nose when she explained. She might be laughing right now, but Mitch noticed the tension in her body. The smiles never reached her eyes. No one else noticed the strain. Rafe's fate and his own secrets had to still be at the forefront of her mind, even if she hid it well. Mitch drank the shot and immediately fought off a cough. His eyes watered, but otherwise he maintained a firm face.
"Remind me never to play poker with you, Commodore,"
a voice behind him said. Mitch turned around and immediately saluted.
"Admiral Soto, sir."
Javier Soto stood, legs wide and hands clasped behind his back, still the stout man Mitch had admired at the academy, just a little older.
"Please, stand down, Yoshida. I'm retired now." "Relax? No chance." "I didn't expect to see you here, sir." "She didn't tell you," Soto smirked. "So like her mother, that child. I live here most of the year. I'm the only Terran in residence."
Mitch nodded toward the 2 wrist sinks the Admiral held in his hands.
"Going on a trip, sir?"
Soto's shoulders sagged.
"Afraid not. My trips to Creed are over. If I want to continue living in one piece, that is."
He dropped the wrist sinks on the counter.
"No, I've been working on a way to network the wrist sinks as a backup if one fails. This way, a wrist sink can cover more than one person."
Mitch picked one up and noticed that the design seemed newer than the one he was wearing.
"Have you ever tried using one to stave off disintegration?"
He held up his other wrist and displayed his blackened patch.
"It bought me some time just a day ago. Maybe they can be overhauled to assist someone in your situation." "Really? I'll have to research the possibilities."
Mitch glanced down the bar. Rossa waved to Lara and departed. As Lara turned, she noticed the two of them and approached. "You're not giving away any Chimeran secrets, are you, Dad?"
Soto hugged his daughter. "Of course I am, Firecracker. Mitch and I were trading secrets. Actually, he tells me the wrist sink helped him a great deal."
Lara's lips pursed. "Yes, it was close. Mother is not happy with me at the moment."
"I'm sure I'll receive a message from her soon. We'll sort it out on your next trip."
"Actually, you can tell her yourself." Lara nodded toward the bar's entrance. Sabina glanced around until her eyes landed on them, specifically on Lara's father. Javier's shoulders tensed and then fell as he relaxed.
"How is this possible?"
"We've recalibrated the wrist sinks."
"Does she know about Raphael?"
Lara nodded. "Yes, but Cam will have some new data from the Griffin's buoy. Hopefully a new lead."
Soto frowned. "We will find him. I can help Rossa sort through the information."
"You better move fast. I just sent Cam to arrange housing for the Interlace Terrans."
"I'll catch up with her later. Right now, I'd better go."
Soto hugged his daughter one last time.
"Take a look at the wrist sinks. I think I figured out how to network them just as we talked about."
Neither Lara nor Mitch said a word as Javier embraced his estranged wife. Finally, Mitch cleared his throat.
"I saw Rafe in the pilot station, Lara. With some wraith of a woman, we have to get him out of there."
Before she could berate him for not believing her earlier, he held out his hand. The data crystal gleamed like a jewel in his palm.
"I promised you this."
Lara bit her bottom lip. "The interlace comlocks?"
Mitch nodded. "I downloaded them from the pods before we left Creed. It took me a while to obtain the proper security codes."
There really was no good way for Mitch to tell Lara what she would find in those logs, but a promise was a promise. Revealing it to her here in a bar was not a good idea, though. "You're actually going to tell me classified information?"
Mitch nodded. "Not here. Can we talk somewhere private? There are a few things I need to tell you about those logs."
"Have you seen your quarters yet?" Mitch pushed aside his shot glass.
Not yet.
Lara quirked an eyebrow at him but said nothing. They exited Arnie's into a breezy summer night, the street busy with foot traffic after the excitement of the Griffin's return. Alpha Haven was a small settlement of maybe 200 civilians. Around them were scattered 2- and 3-story buildings, a general store for necessities, a tailor, a butcher. All the necessities of a small, thriving community. As they walked through town center, he noticed empty stalls that would be full on market day. Silhouettes of farms dotted the outskirts.
"I still can't believe you accomplished all of this in 11 years. She shrugged.
"We grew most of the buildings with nanocalcite bacteria. We were lucky to have a few Creed architecture students." She walked backward and nodded toward the hangar. "We built the hangar bay first. For 2 years, most of us lived there." As Lara turned around front-facing, Mitch clasped her hand.
"I never understood how angry you were with the Union."
"Honestly, neither did I at first. I admit, my anger gave me purpose in the beginning. But then the Chimerans I'd rallied desired a place of their own to live and picked me to find it. I couldn't let them down." Mitch nodded, and they continued walking in silence. At the end of the street, they came upon a collection of bungalows tucked off the main road. Lara pointed at the closest building. "Your quarters are there. The door is open, and the accommodations have been prepped for you. My quarters are next door."
"Before you review those comm logs, I need to fill you in on the Interlace's orders."
"Fine, then. Join me for another whiskey and tell me all about it." Lara let Mitch into her bungalow and hoped she would still be speaking to him at the end of the night. Chances were, whatever he had to tell her would not be good. She needed to hear it, though, for Raphael's sake. When last she departed Alpha Haven, Lara hadn't been expecting visitors to her tiny cottage, so the place showed its usual range of clutter from the pile of hollow tablets on the main table to her closet full of dirty uniforms. At least a cleaning crew had been through the place and filled the cooling unit before she left. She emptied the contents of her pockets on the main table, along with the wrist sinks. The old photo of her, Mitch, and Raphael gave Lara pause, but she would get her brother back soon. "You sure you want another whiskey? I think I have some Terran brandy in the pantry."
"Actually, I'm all right. Let's skip the drinks."
Lara held her breath and settled in an overstuffed chair. "Is it that bad? Whatever it is, just tell me." Mitch ran a hand through his hair and sat on the couch opposite her.
"I sent the Interlace into the wormhole. That's what you'll find in the comm logs. I know the phase frequency, because I helped Rafe design the experiment."
Lara's vision pinholed, her whole world stopping as if the planet had suddenly spun off its axis.
"You what?" "During my years of visiting Creed, I'd heard stories that their scientists had long ago breached other dimensions. Creed publicly denied it, but still people told stories. Rafe and I both were intrigued and started researching the claims. Through my connections as Creed liaison, I obtained, legally, logs from some early dimensional experiments. In one account, a Creed science ship had been accidentally destroyed, but the data didn't support that notion. We discovered that Chimerans were especially sensitive to that area of space. We hoped if any remnant of the experiment existed, the Chimeran presence would draw it out." She clutched the arms of the chair. "No, no, no. She could not be hearing this from Mitch. You used Chimerans as bait? You haven't changed at all." Mitch sighed. "Hear me out, Lara, please. When we were ready to recreate the experiment, I'd been commanding the Interlace for months. In my time as Creed liaison, I'd been sheltered from how the Union was treating the Chimerans. Then I witnessed it firsthand. Like I've said before, you were right."
"And your sudden awakening is supposed to make me feel better about you sending my brother into some kind of trans-dimensional prison for withholding this information from me?" Mitch leaned forward, elbows on knees, and clenched his fists.
"I didn't just protest Chimeran segregation. When in charge of the Interlace, I desegregated the crew, and my command was revoked as a result. The mission continued without me, and it seems they faced a similar fate as the Bane.
Her legs tensed to run, but Lara forced them still. She was done running. She needed Mitch to get Raphael back.
Regardless, you sent my brother into a dangerous situation.
You go into dangerous situations every day. Do you honestly think I'd send Rafe, or anyone for that matter, into a situation I wasn't personally willing to face? If everything had gone according to plan, I'd be trapped right now in that wormhole with him. I'd hope to free him myself. I never imagined involving you. We've had our differences, Lara, but if you really think so little of me, then I'd better just go.
He stood and got as far as the table. For the first time, Mitch might be the one to leave.
Wait!
Lara didn't want to think of Mitch trapped by the Revenant. Raphael imprisoned there was quite enough, thank you very much. Plus, she knew her brother. Raphael volunteered for this mission, didn't he?
All of the crew volunteered. Rafe and I were up front about the risks. This wasn't an average mission.
Lara leaned forward and scrubbed her hands over her face. Raphael has been infatuated with that fairy tale since we were kids. Mitch's head jerked up. He didn't tell you. Creed parents tell the story to keep their children behaving. The names changed over the generations, but I think the story is about Kalendra. For a moment, neither of them spoke. Mitch picked up her old photo.
I remember when this picture was taken. A beautiful, perfect day, before the edict.
He yanked his collar wide.
It has to mean something that none of us ever had these removed.
She noticed the triple star tattoo on his neck, just like Raphael's and her own. For a short time, the three of them had been so very close. Her and Mitch's relationship had just cemented already cherished friendships. At that time, none of them could envision life without the other two. Lara had changed all that when she walked out on the Star Union, and on Mitch. Lara tried, couldn't look away from the intensity in his eyes. 11 years of hurt showed right there beneath the surface.
Did you mean what you said earlier?
That you would have left with me?
Mitch nodded. I meant it.
Lara sighed. I wished I'd known that then. Mitch crossed back to her, knelt in front of her chair.
We can't second-guess ourselves. I would have been the only Terran among a lot of angry Chimerans.
He cradled her face in his hands.
I wouldn't have fit into the life you built here. I can't go where you can go.
How could she make him understand? Leaving was the hardest thing I've ever done. We would have figured out a way to live.
Like your parents have? A few days, no, hours together at a time?
In his time, her father had been a Star Union hero, one of the original crew to travel to Creed. He'd lived there 3 months, long enough to fall deeply for Sabina and create twin lives, if not long enough to witness their birth. Javier would have stayed and died if Sabina hadn't convinced him that their children needed their father alive, even if he lived in another dimension. Javier had spent his life since trying to find a way to return to Creed, to Sabina. In the meantime, they had only a few hours together at a time, before one of them slipped out of phase forever. Lara clasped his arms.
We're not them. I can go anywhere you can go.
But that's just it. You would not have settled the Havens. We can't keep asking ourselves, what if?
Mitch sighed and tilted his head back, eyes closed. Those oh-so-tense shoulders dropped. Lara's brain stopped working. She didn't want to think. The tension deep down in her belly relaxed, liquid. After all those years apart, she finally had Mitch right here, with her. She leaned forward and kissed his corded neck, just under that angle of a jaw where he wore the triple star tattoo. Sandalwood, lemongrass, and Mitch's own musk filled her senses. How had she lived so long without this man and broken that bond? She teased her tongue along his earlobe. Mitch turned his head and caught her mouth with his own, tongues twining. His hand wrapped around the back of her head, trapping her against him. as if she might actually leave him. Lara's heart twisted. What had they done to each other these 11 years? What had she done to him when she left? She wound her hands up Mitch's back, under his shirt, and caressed the ridges of his abdomen, the breadth of his shoulders, then pulled the shirt over his head. Her own followed a minute later. Lara knelt and fumbled with his fly. Mitch stood, flipped open the fastening, and discarded the pants in one motion. She smiled up at him for a second. A shock of straight dark hair fell over his forehead, and his cheeks flushed. She flicked her tongue across his erection and trailed kisses up the rest of his torso. Mitch slid her trousers off with his hands kneading all the way. She pressed closer and melded their mouths together. Was she really doing this? Getting so scary close to Mitch Yoshida again could just be setting her up for another disappointment. It didn't matter. Leaving without Mitch all those years ago had haunted her since. If this was her only chance, she would take it. This time he might leave her. One hand cupping her behind and the other clasping her shoulder, Mitch lifted her up and settled them both back on the chair. He settled between her thighs and hovered there, so close. He met her eyes.
I wish I'd gone with you. If I'd understood just what it meant.
Lara crushed her lips to his and pulled him home with her legs wound around his hips. She clutched the lean muscles of his back. For a second, Mitch froze, and then started to move as he kissed his way up her neck to her lips. They quickly found each other's rhythm and, after that, all logic fled, replaced by sensation. The taste of his skin, the warmth of his body, the fine hairs of his chest on her breasts. Mitch came apart first, but the throb and pulse of his motion set Lara off seconds later. Her whole body tightened around him and then exploded until every nerve ending vibrated. Of all the homes Lara possessed across the universe, in Mitch's arms was the only place she wanted to be. Chapter 13. Rafe floated on a cloud and let the Revenant Queen take him away. Kalendra rose above him naked, her long hair a curtain that blocked out the rest of the world. Her slick heat slipped over him again as Rafe took one pale nipple into his mouth. He understood now that they were evenly matched in this haven. He need not fear hurting her. He pulled her into a kiss as the sensual release scattered them far from the prison they both lived in. Kalendra fell on top of him where they collapsed on the couch, in the remnants of Mitch's captain's lounge. Relics his friend left behind lay spread about the room. An ancient paper book sat next to the couch, a gift from Rafe. An extra uniform jacket hung in the gaping wide closet. An old photo of Lara lay in the top desk drawer. Would Rafe ever see either of them again? The rest of the room had not endured so intact. In fact, entire parts of the ship were just missing, as if some ancient monster had taken a bite out of the Interlace's hull. In the distance, the broken blue shell of the wormhole rippled, negative matter waves leaking through it. All Rafe's training told him they should be dead. However, neither he nor Kalendra needed the ship to survive any longer. The concept of life depended on a heartbeat, on respiration. And none of them, Interlace or Revenant, possessed either anymore. He still sensed the shifting phases in his body, though, which had grown in strength as his command of the exotic matter tendrils increased. Kalendra sighed, and Rafe couldn't really discern where he stopped and she began. If they stayed here long enough, maybe they would meld together permanently. With each passing minute, his body faded a little bit more. Clinging to Kalendra provided a few moments of relief. If he disconnected so deeply after only existing in the wormhole for this short a time, how had Kalendra managed to survive 1,000 years? Only a hollow semblance of a human being could have possibly survived in her form, and yet he sensed so much more. She kissed her way up his throat and then gazed out to the chaos beyond him. Look at it. Rafe narrowed his eyes, open now to the world in ways he'd never been before.
We're being pulled closer.
Ionic tentacles pushed into the maw of the ship and whipped around them. Kalendra sat up straight and let one entwine her arm in a bizarre caress.
Soon we must leave this place.
Rafe pulled them both away from the opening.
Do you remember what caused the rift in the first place?
Kalendra frowned and traced the angles of his face as she tried to recall.
The rift that sent us here closed shortly after we arrived. This one is new.
Telling her what Creed had since said of her history might push her back into madness. Her thoughts only whispered in the back of his mind at the moment. Kalendra seemed more rational for the time being, but Rafe had no idea how long that would last. She cocked her head at an angle, heard his mind.
When you share yourself with me, like this,
she caressed his chest,
I can think more clearly. The waves out there,
she pointed to the rift.
Those waves don't feel a part of me right now. I don't know how long this coherence will last. Tell me what you were doing in your experiment.
Rafe slipped on his shirt. If only he had access to his research, maybe he could solve their problem.
Like you, I was looking for new ways to generate a wormhole. I altered the proportions of exotic matter used in your tests. We both failed to find a new dimension. But maybe the rift is our way out.
She stood and nipped his jaw.
I should tell you to go. To at least try to take the ship through the rift. But I don't want you to leave me here in this place. If I could bind you to me, I would.
Rafe couldn't leave Kalendra behind. Before falling into the rift, the woman had been a gifted scientist. She could be that again.
Come with me.
Kalendra pulled away and picked up her shift from the floor.
I can't. My people can't. We've been here too long. Out there, we don't exist. We have no cohesion. When you came here, when I sensed you, I realized you were different. I hoped you might help us. But you can't.
He slouched back on the couch. You can't just give up. My sister will come for me. She won't stop until I'm free. We can count on that.
Kalendra closed her eyes and beckoned the wispy vines to her. They clustered behind her like wings.
You're putting everyone at risk. Why?
There's risk no matter what we do. Would you rather continue existing this way, or risk making it to the other side?
The vines lifted Mitch's old jacket from the closet and carried it to Kalendra. She slipped on the garment.
Very well. Send a message if you can, through the rift with our coordinates. I don't know how long the ship will last. It probably won't make it through.
Rafe rose and cradled her face in his hands.
After I do that, take me to your ship. Take me to the Revenant.
Not much is left of it. The wormhole has been eating away at it for so long.
I need to compare what we each attempted. Discover where we both went wrong.
Kalendra pulled Mitch's jacket closed tight and shivered.
For you, I can try.
Mitch still tasted Lara on his tongue. Her musky scent infused him, engulfed him. It didn't hurt that the woman in question lay curled up next to him, naked. Soft morning light filtered in from the window above, and soothing but unfamiliar bird sounds twittered outside. At some point during the night, they'd moved from the chair to the bed. Mitch had no idea what time exhaustion finally claimed them. Lara shifted, and her curvy backside settled deeper against him, transforming his early morning mellow excitement to a full-scale hard-on. He nuzzled the back of her neck and slipped one hand around to cup a breast. Lara squeezed his thigh and moaned. One small shift and, oh gods, yes, her warm, slick heat enveloped him. They settled into an easy rhythm like years before, their bodies syncing up well together, even when emotionally they might as well have lived on different planets. Mitch didn't want to think about the mistakes they'd made back then, couldn't think about them right now. He would never let Lara walk out on him again.
Mitch kissed her shoulder and smirked when the orgasm took her over.
He'd never tire of watching the formidable Captain Larisoto splinter apart and lose control. She cried his name as her body shook, and then gripped him tight. The sensation sent him following Lara over that cliff. He ground deeper and dropped his face into her neck. Bodies liquid, they settled into the mattress in a dreamy otherworld state, a tangle of limbs and glistening skin. Tender words, words of love, swirled around in Mitch's mind, but he couldn't voice them yet. He didn't want to risk ruining this moment, an event he had craved for over a decade. Later, the sentiment could wait. Lara rolled onto her back and pushed wavy bedhead hair out of her eyes. She quirked an eyebrow at him and kissed him on the lips. "Coffee?" Sadly, his attempt at speech came out a grunt, but Lara took it for the assent it was and hopped out of bed. She snatched up a stray T-shirt and tossed it on as she crossed the room, that curvy backside again in full view. Her comlink pinged from the main table. Lara caught his gaze across the bungalow as she answered. Guess that sentiment would really have to wait until later.
"Soto here."
"Captain!" Ross's voice filled the quiet house. "We received a message from Commander Soto, ma'am. He sent us the coordinates of the Interlace." Lara paled. At one point last night, she told Mitch more about meeting Calendra on the Calypso. Rafe had managed to relay their coordinates. Was he now suffering for it? Or was this a trap? Lara cleared her throat.
"Acknowledged. Assemble a crew and ready the Griffin for departure. We're heading out in 2 hours."
"Aye, Captain." Lara clicked off the comlink and without a word headed for the SANI unit off the bedroom.
"Lara, wait. This is too easy."
She held up a hand.
"Don't even..." "Mitch, I don't care if it's a trap. I can't let this opportunity pass."
He crossed the room, cradled her face in his hands.
"You're not leaving without me."
Lara sighed and leaned in closer.
"No, not ever again."
Rafe's knees buckled as they materialized onto the 1,000-year-old revenant. His flesh was not even human anymore, not even living, but still the transport racked his molecules and pained him. Every muscle ached. No living thing could scatter themselves into particles, travel vast distances, and recombine them at will. But that was exactly what he and Calendra had just achieved. So weary, he gave in to the inertia and let his body jumble to the floor, or what was left of the floor. If parts of the Interlace were missing, then only parts of the Revenant remained. The mist had long ago devoured the bones of the ship. The floor directly beneath him was solid. But how far that ranged, Rafe didn't know. He sank his head into his palms. Calendra hummed a tune and floated away from him, her delicate touch fleeting across his shoulders. Mitch's jacket hung loose on her narrow frame, but its weight did nothing to slow her drift around the room. Then, in a nanosecond, she sped across the room, and her image seemed to be in multiple places at once. When she stopped, Calendra faced off a large cloud of mist and reached into it. Rafe gulped down his unease and flexed numbed fingers.
"I expected to arrive on the bridge. What is this place?"
Everywhere around them, the wormhole's foggy tendrils seeped, its hazy reach turning matter indistinct. That is, until Calendra touched it. Her wraith-like hands caressed a mass of mist, and it hardened into a disk. She cupped a palm-sized cloud, and it transformed into a picture frame.
"This is where I died, and lived briefly. My private quarters."
Now Rafe understood what damage 1,000 years of wormhole infiltration could do. No structure had been left unscathed. Every molecule had been altered by the ionic winds, buffeted, until its very nuclei had been ripped apart and transformed. His own body told a similar tale. Around them, the room as it once was coalesced. Her sleeping pallet lay to the right of the desk, and a breakfast table sat across from it. A viewport above the desk showed him the chaos of the wormhole. Calendra roamed the room, reliving her past,
but her memories would have to wait. Rafe had a promise to keep, and it made him mercenary.
"Can I access the ship's database from here?"
Kalendra smoothed the pads of her graceful fingers over the image of a young girl in the frame.
"We lived here for something like 500 years, before we could no longer separate ourselves from the ship. We deserted it to find ourselves again, to distinguish ourselves from this place and each other."
"Kalendra," his voice pitched low. "The database."
She sighed and clutched the frame to her heart, then swiped her hand through the mist hovering over the desk. A computer console solidified. Joining her side, Rafe molded his hands over the smooth crystalline surface of the ancient device. All the formed pieces of the room were made of a similar material.
"How do you manage this?"
"All of the molecules here. We all are one. I command the mist with no more effort than you blink your eyes."
"You form all of this from memory after so long? How can I trust the data I find, then?"
"I designed the experiment, Rafe, and led the crew to this ghostly existence. I sentenced even my daughter to it. I shall never forget the data that damned us all here."
As much as he yearned to, there was no consoling that kind of pain. Rafe bent over the console and tabbed through the familiar modern interface. His own mind must be influencing the process, so he questioned anything gleaned from it. With no other choice, he had to trust Kalendra's memory. Kalendra drifted close and sat on the edge of the desk.
"Do you ever fear where this inquisitiveness of yours will lead?" "Because you should."
"Curiosity is the only way we learn."
"Curiosity is what trapped me here."
"No, a mistake is what trapped us both here. And curiosity is the only way we'll get ourselves free."
Kalendra laughed, a throaty whisper of which he never imagined such a frail body was capable.
"A few